Welcome to the Blatchford Solutions teleconference, Playing Your A Game with Dr. Bill Blatchford. Tonight we feature Dr. Steve Patinge. As a client of Blatchford Solutions, Dr. Patinge's practice has seen an increase in net profit of over $100,000 in the last 10 months. Dr. Blatchford has over 20 years' experience helping doctors increase their profitability. Find out more by visiting our website, www.blatchford.com.
Well, welcome. This is Bill Blatchford, and I want to go ahead and get this started. Good evening. Tonight we have doctors all the way from Massachusetts to Hawaii on the call, and we have people all in between. And so if those of you are in a noisy background, I hear a couple of you have some people talking in the background. If you hit the 6 on your phone, that would mute your phone, and we don't hear that. This should be a great call. We have basically sold out every available line for this call. We have 50 lines available, and they all are filled. And so welcome. You're one of the 50. Well, what I want to do tonight is I want Dr. Patinge to talk about what he did in his practice. He is a general dentist from Saugus, Massachusetts. About a week ago, Steve and I had a conversation. He had just got back from talking to his accountant. Actually, it was about 3 weeks ago, I guess, is when I put this call together. And Steve was in a position a year ago. He met me at the Yankee Dental Congress in Boston. I'll let Steve tell about his financial situation in a little bit, but little can be said more than he was in a position that a lot of dentists find themselves in. He ended up with a pile of bills bigger than the pile of money at the end of most months. He ended up with too many bills and not enough income coming in to take care of everything, and he recognized after several years of practice he was going nowhere fast. As a matter of fact, he had a hard time coming up with the money for this coaching program, and even his accountant said, don't spend the money, Steve, you can't afford this. And then just a few weeks ago, he had just come back from his accountant's office, and the accountant said, yes, your income did go up, and of course Steve knew it, but we sat there and we added up what he spent, including what he spent on this coaching program, paying off payables that with his lab. He had payables in lab, dental supplies, etc., and that doesn't even show up in the accountant's page, but he showed over $100,000 in net. So tonight we have Dr. Patinge on the phone. I'm going to encourage you to be thinking of questions you would like to ask Steve as we go along. There will be some points where I will stop and ask you for some questions. I will have some questions. There are a few people from my organization on the call. They may have some questions. So be thinking as he says. Just ask anything you want. Before we get started, I want to thank a couple other people. Rocket Dog Dental, Michael Elliott. Rocket Dog Dental in Seattle does our marketing for us. They market for Dentist Establishing Brand. I believe Michael is on the call. Also, Care Credit is an annual sponsor of mine. As most of you know, Care Credit is a company that provides financing for patients' dental work, and I'm a big believer in outside financing. General Motors figured it out in 1917 that the American public will finance things they see value in, and so I think Care Credit does an excellent job of having that available in offices. So let's get started. Steve, let's start with you. Why don't you describe the practice you're in? Why don't you tell us, first off, most of the doctors aren't from the Massachusetts area. I see one or two from Massachusetts, but why don't you start first and tell us a little bit about Saugus, Massachusetts?
All right. Saugus, Massachusetts. Can you hear me okay, by the way?
Yes, perfect.
Okay. It's about 7 miles north of Boston. Definitely blue collar, a lot of pizza joints, a lot of hair salons, stuff like that. Hardworking people. And it's like middle class.
Mm-hmm. And tell us how long you've been out of school. And
I got out of school in 1985. I've been in my current location in Saugus since 1989. And I would say between 2003 and 2006, the only thing that I increased was my overhead.
Okay. And you're a general dentist.
Yep.
One of the things that I want all of you to learn about Steve tonight, and one of the reasons I wanted to interview him, is Steve is not what you would call especially glib. And one of the things we did is we dramatically increased his sales of better treatment plans in his office. And it's not because Steve's a fast talker. I love Steve because he tells it just the way it is. And you can count on him not to embellish this for us tonight. He's just straight shooter, which I really appreciate. All right, Steve, why don't you tell us a little about the financial situation your practice was in when you met me at the Yankee Congress and why you decided to do something about it.
All right. Well, when I met you at the Yankee, I'm sure you remember the conversation. You said to me, I can increase your net $100,000. So right away, obviously, I was interested. I had told you that I was COD on my lab, on my my dental supply companies. My overhead was about 80%. Personally, I owed about $50,000 to the IRS. I had a ton of credit card debt, and I had used a dental consultant through Benco for about 2 years, and I was just getting so frustrated. I'd come to work saying, geez, I hope I have this much in my deposit today so I can, you know, pay my lab or something like that. It was pretty bad.
And so dentistry wasn't much fun for you at that point?
No, nothing was really fun.
Uh-huh.
You know, you come up to the front desk and you ask the front desk person, well, what's the deposit today? Oh, what do you mean this person didn't pay? You know, what I thought was just typical stuff.
So that led to a lot of micromanagement of your practice. And what were the steps? I mean, what were the things that took place? Because you're still the same person you were a year ago. I mean, nothing has really... We didn't do a brain transplant. We didn't.
Well, actually, I'm not as the same person because I'm not in as debt much debt.
That's right. You don't have the debt. Tell us what's happened to the debt.
Well, I paid off my personal credit cards. I paid what I owe the IRS. I'm up to date on all my, my lab and my dental supply company, and I'm actually, son of a gun, I'm actually socking some money away.
Yes. And I said you made $100,000. So let's just set the stage here. You met with your accountant about 3 weeks ago, and what did your accountant come up with after 10 months?
I literally made $100,000 net. It was unbelievable.
And he financed this program, and he paid $33,000 of that off last year, and that was included as in expenses. And we still made $100,000. Plus, he was able to buy some new computers, pay cash for them. And he was able to pay off that lab bill and his supply bill, which also came out of the expenses. So when Steve and I figured it out, his net went up by more like $140,000 during that period of time. But some of it didn't show up as net that the accountant would pick up because he was still paying off basically lab bill from 04 at the first of 05. So pretty good. All right, Steve, let's talk about some of the things that you did, because I'm sure doctors are asking, okay, what did you do differently? You must have had massive infusions of new patients. You must have... What did you do in your practice that made the huge difference?
Well, believe it or not, it absolutely was not new patients, because I know that you probably remember when I met you, I had not seen any new patients for 2 years. I had, shut the practice because we just seemed like we were too busy. So it absolutely was not new patients. The big thing was a different way of communicating to our existing patients. Talk to them about what their long-term goals for their teeth were. Ask them what they wanted, and do a lot more listening as opposed to, see them and say, oh, look at that filling starting to break down. Oh, let's make an appointment and get that one done. More overall treatment planning, just putting the bug in their ear, having everybody on the same page in the office, not just myself, because before it was just basically me trying to sell dentistry, and everybody else was sort of just standing by, watching me do my thing.
Steve, a lot of doctors say, I do listen to patients. I do ask them what they want.
What I would say to them is just stick a hidden camera in your operatory and talk to a new patient, and then play it back and see how much you listen, because I know for a fact that I've talked myself out of probably more dentistry the last 10 years than I could do in the next 30.
Mm-hmm. So you're saying we don't really listen. You didn't really listen before.
I didn't really listen before. I was basically trying to beat them over the head with what I felt they needed.
Now, when you say you were trying to beat them over the head, you weren't literally beating people over the head, but you were trying to educate them into submission. So if they knew as much about dentistry as you do, they would obviously want to do it.
Absolutely. I would show them their x-rays. I would show them pictures on the screen. I would show them my beautiful diagnostic wax-ups. I would show them why their occlusion had to be equilibrated. Then I would tell them how much it was. And then I was wondering why they weren't coming back.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. And when were you telling them how much it was going to be?
That's a good question. Probably when they went out to the front desk.
So you were just talking about what they needed and why they needed it, and then they go talk to Susan at the front desk, and she'll take care of the money.
Yeah, she'll add everything up for you.
Yeah, she'll tell her to take care of things for you. Okay, Steve, let's talk a little bit about your team, because you mentioned something about how the team really wasn't on board before. It was just you promoting the dentistry, promoting the practice, and you were micromanaging. But what has taken place on this team since? I mean, your team's a little smaller now, for one thing.
Yes, I'm actually 1.5 people smaller this year than I was the year before. So I increased my production about 150,000 with 1.5 less people on board. So that's a big thing right there. you know, once we put in that bonus system, and it becomes a little easier to talk about the dentistry that people need or that they might want when, you know, they have a little financial incentive.
So the team has a bonus system in place that we put in place at the first seminar. That's helped a lot with the motivation to get them to do some study. Now, this has not all been easy. I mean, we've actually given you some homework to do during the year. You've had to read some books. You've had to do some
I've read a ton of books. And they're really
a ton of books.
Yeah. I've read more books this past year than I had easily the previous 10.
Yeah. Now, we're not going to give them the names of these books tonight, Steve, because that's part of my program, you see. And if I give them the names of the books, I'd have to kill them all, so I can't do that. But tell me, how'd you get your staff to read books?
How did I get them to read books?
Yes.
I told them they had to read the books.
I see.
Basically, when I started with your program, and you always get, you're going to get resistance from your staff no matter what practice management person you're doing. And my front desk person, Donna, who's excellent, by the way, said, you know what? You don't need him. We can do this on our own. And I said to her, we've been saying this for 5 years, and we haven't gotten anywhere. So once I instituted, you know, the Blatchford program, and I told them, look, I'm committed to this. You guys are either going to be committed with me and do what I ask and read books and all that stuff, or, you know, you can just practice somewhere else.
I have to throw this in here. When we start our program with new doctors, my wife and I sit down with the doctor and their spouse for a day. And one of the things that I always amazed at is every time people will say, my staff said we can do this on our own, we don't need to do this, and yet Steve had a great answer, and that is, we've been trying it on our own for 5 years, we've gotten nowhere, and here's where we are. And that's the point where I said to my wife, I think this man is coachable. Because at one point in the meeting, one of the things I'm so proud about Steve is that about halfway through that first meeting, I turned to my wife and I said, you know, I don't think this man is coachable.
I was scared straight.
I don't say that very often, but I did say that in your case, and I said, I don't think he's coachable. I think we should all go home right now, and he should keep doing what he's doing, because he's not going to change. And that was a time when I was asking him to do some things. I said, I won't ask you to do anything immoral, unethical, or illegal. I'm going to ask you to do some things that are uncomfortable. And one of those things that I asked Steve to do is take control of his practice back, and not have the staff lead the practice and let them set the direction. Take it back. Now, he's got a real committed staff. Tell us how are you staffed at this point? I mean, well, tell us your numbers. The last 2 months, you've done $100,000 a month.
Yep.
That's up from 65 a year ago. You were averaging 65 and 05. Last year, you averaged about 80,000. And this year, you're hitting at about 100 a month.
Right, my goal is about 92 a month.
92. And tell us how you're staffed.
I have one front desk person, one chairside assistant, and one full-time hygienist and one part-time hygienist. And we work, you know, we work 3.5 days a week.
And you work three and a half.
Go ahead. And we only work 168 days this year.
168. What had you been working?
The year before, I think we probably worked 180.
180, huh? So you're down a little bit, not a lot. But 168 is excellent. And tell us a little bit more about elaborate on the case presentation a little bit. How is a new patient dealt with today versus how they were dealt with 2 years ago?
Well, 2 years ago, or even a little over a year ago, I'm a big Dawson guy, and the new patients would see me first regardless. When they called, it was a new patient, they would see me for a one-hour complete exam and then a one-hour consultation, and, you know, like I would do all the diagnostic stuff and then present it to the patient, and more often than not, they would not agree to treatment. And now, if it's a new patient, whoever answers the phone will ask what the patient would like, and if they want a cleaning first, then that's what they'll get. We'll give them a cleaning, and I'll come in and introduce myself and just maybe talk in some generalities, maybe what they're looking for. And if they say, you know what, I'm interested in whitening my teeth or maybe some veneers, and you can take a quick look and say, yeah, you know, that could run you about $12,000. And if they're interested, then we can get them in and do the complete exam. If they're not interested, no big deal. I don't waste any time. And I don't waste any time with them. It's like, well, you know what, we just, you know, clean your teeth and fix up any decay. And then when you're ready, we're still here.
Uh-huh. So now I'm an admirer of Pete Dawson. I've got a dental school operative teacher named Pete Dawson, so I get the names mixed up. I'm an admirer of Paul Dawson also, and Pete Dawson. And tell me how, which is a very good diagnostic, I mean, teaches really good diagnostics and really good treatment planning.
Absolutely.
So how do you combine those two? Because I know there are probably doctors on the call that are very much into complete treatment planning, and what we've been trained to do over the years, of course, is to do that complete treatment planning first. And, of course, we want to remember that some of these people out there on the lecture circuit, they have patients flying in from South America for treatment, and they could read the phone book to the patient for a half hour, and they would do it. But that has been... do you treat many patients from South America, Steve?
No, I don't believe I have any.
And so you're talking about, as Paul Homley says, Helen, who works as the janitor at the school next door, and how do we get her to do treatment? And that's what we've shifted. So tell us how you combine my method of finding out what people want and basically presenting this case, including the fee, and then how do you combine that with Pete Dawson's complete diagnostic workup.
We can get a pretty good ballpark on what, without doing all the diagnostic stuff, I can get a pretty good ballpark of what something will cost. And if you tell them, you know what, you're probably looking at $20,000 worth of work, and they say, well, you know what, that's fine. And then I'll have them back for the whole workup and the treatment plan. And as an incentive, we tell them, you know, if they prepay, we'll give them a little discount. And, you know, once they pay, there you have them.
Mm-hmm. And so you combine the two quite nicely, and I've always said that's very possible. I don't teach how to do exams. I don't teach how to do treatment workups. That's not what I'm trying to work on. I work on how to get that treatment accepted, and then we do the complete diagnostics.
Right. I was sort of doing it in reverse. You know, my belief was after I, you know, went through all the Dawson thing and took a bunch of courses, and I would be like, if you do good dentistry, they will come. But that didn't seem to be cutting it.
Mm-hmm. They were coming, but they weren't accepting any treatment.
Correct.
Now, one time I called you and you talked about how much more fun your day was. I know you put block booking in place very effectively. Can you describe block booking to the people on the call a little bit and how you put that and how you switched? Because you had, when we met you originally, you had an extremely busy, and I'm using the word busy in parentheses because you were busy but not tremendously productive.
Correct.
And now you're working less and producing more dentistry with a smaller staff. Tell us how the schedule has gone and how you put that in place.
Well, to put it in place, we basically picked a time that we didn't want to move a lot of existing patients out of their appointments, so we picked when our schedule was opened up, and I was probably booking about maybe 6 months in advance before you could find any appointment. So we went 6 months out or 5 months out and started block booking, and basically in the morning from 8 to 12, big cases only. No fillings, no emergencies, no exams, no nothing, just productive cases. In the afternoon is the smaller stuff, the consultations, the single tooth restorations, cementations, and all that stuff. And
so, go ahead. So one of the things that I always point out, I think a lot of doctors are always concerned, well, if I go to block booking, I can't change where I schedule because I'm booked several months in advance, and yet they're not producing much. And so you were booked 6 months out. I didn't remember it was quite that far. I knew it was quite a while. So there's a good chance that we'll raise the net even more in the following year because he was booked. We couldn't change the way we scheduled the first 6 months we worked with him. But you don't change any patients. So your block book is in the morning, large restorative cases, afternoon, the little stuff, your consultations, your seats, and that sort of thing is pretty much how you do it.
You know, what happened, because last year there was a situation where a gentleman was in, and he probably needed $30,000 worth of work. He said, fine. We couldn't get him an appointment for about 5 months, and he had enough time to change his mind.
Yeah.
So it's nice to have that. Now if someone comes in and they need that much work, I can get them in the end of next week.
I was going to ask you, how does that compare to now? If I came in today and said yes to $30,000 worth of treatment, when could you see me?
Next Thursday.
Excellent.
Pay me now and take 5% off.
Well, tell us about your financial arrangements. What have you done in that arena?
Well, we collect the money up front now, whereas before it used to be, well, if they have insurance now, we collect their money up front and have the insurance reimburse them.
Okay.
unless it's Delta Dental. So I'm still a Delta guy, but that's my 2008 goal. Get rid of that.
But 2008, anyway. Your goal is to not be a provider for Delta, but right now you're still a provider for Delta.
Right.
So if any other insurance company, though, the policy is that people are paying you before they start the restorative work.
Correct. And if they pay before the day before, at least the day before the appointment, they'll get 5% off anything over $1,000.
Uh-huh.
And that can add, like I said, that can add up to pretty good savings for them. And I know that if they prepay, they're not going to miss that appointment.
Yes. You know, we think that, although I have to say that I have a client in Seattle who just had a patient pay him $105,000 for a case. And he set aside the whole day, and the patient canceled it at the last minute.
Did he charge him?
He didn't want the money back. No, he didn't. I mean, he just said that just goes to the territory. But I had breakfast with him the next morning. He said, I never thought that would happen, but $105,000. And the patient was coming in from out of state for this work. And called at the last minute, called that morning, and couldn't make it. But so it does happen. But so you've gone from an accounts receivable to a very small accounts receivable, or do you have a credit balance at this time?
No, I still have a small accounts receivable, but it was about $100,000. Now it's down to about $40,000, so I'm working on it.
So you've dropped your receivables by about $60,000 while you raised your production about $150,000.
Right. As long as I have Delta, there's going to be accounts receivable. You know,
yes,
nothing I can
correct.
Do about that.
Yes.
But you know what? Everybody and everybody talks about money now. Even the hygienist, obviously, at the front desk. I'm much more comfortable talking about it. For some reason, it was a big change in attitude to be able to do that. Now
so
I have no problem telling a patient how much it is.
Well, you finally figured out that what you do is hard work. You've invested a lot of money, and you spent a lot of time training to do what you do, and you do a service that a lot of people in our population wouldn't even consider doing day after day, and it's all right to get paid for that.
So
I think more importantly that you have your team of people that are also willing to talk about money. I mean, so many offices I see when we start, you know, you'll ask somebody, well, what is the fee for something? And they'll say, I don't know. And of course, my response to that has always been kind of glib, but I say, if I'm speaking to a hygienist, I say, well, you only do four things. Let's learn what the fees are. And of course, then with the doctor, I say, you only do six things. Let's learn the fees. Part of that is it's not that they don't know. It's become part of the culture of the office that no one talks about money, and especially with a new patient. No one talks about money until what is very often the final five minutes of what's very often the last time we ever see that patient. And that is not a healthy attitude about money. If you went into a store and picked out a new suit and said, how much is this suit? Somebody said, well, I'll have to check with my manager, or you can go out and talk to the person at the cash register about that. I really don't know. I just work here. I mean, what would you do? I mean, it'd be ridiculous. Yet in dental offices, I see that going on all the time.
You know, it happens all the time, and for some reason, I don't know why, and I was just like that. It's like you just, I don't know if you're afraid to talk about money or you're afraid to say that this is what it cost or whatever, but, you know, and then what would happen is I'd go up to the front desk, hey, did that patient pay? No, they didn't pay, and I'd be upset, and it'd be like actually my fault because I didn't tell them how much it was going to be ahead of time. Was like,
or the question that I used to do before I switched this in my own office was, I'd talk to the patient in the back about treatment, and my final question generally was, do you have any questions? And they would say no, because they didn't want to look like they were a dummy, and so they would say, no, I don't have any questions, and I'd say, well, you better go talk to Sally at the front, and that meant, and what I assumed from that, they were ready to buy, and of course, I'd check with Sally at the end of the day, and I'd say, did Steve go ahead with that, with those veneers? No, he didn't. And then I'd say, well, he was ready to pay. He was ready to go when he left my treatment room. What happened? You must have made a mistake. And of course, we'd never ask him if he wanted to do it. We just asked him if he had any more questions, and we found that to be not very effective. Steve, tell us a little bit about some of the communication things you've done with your staff during the year that have made a difference. I mean, things you knew about before that you simply weren't doing as far as, you know, staff meetings and, you know, how to communicate the team.
Yeah, every morning we have a 15-minute meeting before we start, and at that we look at our schedule 4 days out to see if we're booked to goal, and maybe what kind of the patients that the hygienist is seeing, who we can say, you know, this person might need some treatment, this person might need some treatment. We bring a copy of our BAMometer to see how we're doing.
Probably don't know what your BAMometer is. You might talk about that.
All right. Well, yeah, BAM is our goal to make bonus. So we have a little graph that My office manager prints up every morning, and it shows how we are in relation to hitting our goal. And then once it hits a certain goal, it tells them how much their bonus is each day. And then once a week we have a meeting for an hour at the end of the day. We try to meet at the end of every day for 10 minutes, just to go over the day, something that what could we have done different, what could we have done better, we should have done this. Once a month we have a 4-hour meeting where we role play.
So once a month you do a staff training meeting.
Yep.
Where you actually train on the various.
Actually brought the video camera in.
Uh-huh.
And that's something that is that's pretty interesting. And that was one of the things that when I first started the program, I was thinking to myself, that's something that we probably won't have to do. But it's my staff that actually said, you know what, we really need to do this so we're all on the same page when patients ask certain questions. And you know what, you could probably, there's 5 or 6 questions that every patient will ask in the same situation that, you know, we can just go over and go over how to respond.
You know, I've used this, and for those doctors on the call, I've been a pilot for 35 years, and, you know, one of the things we do in flying is we constantly practice these emergencies. We have emergencies that they're not emergencies because you know what you're going to do, but I have 5,000 hours of multi-engine time, and I've spent a lot of time flying around on the instrument system at night and bad weather and all kinds of things, and things happen. You know, engines have problems. Things happen, and the fact that you've rehearsed those things before it's a real problem, you don't even have to stop and think. And what's always amazed me in a dental office situation or any business situation, there are certain things that happen, and they repeat themselves over and over and over again. And yet what I see in so many offices, dental offices that I work with when I first start, is they really don't have a system in place to handle these problems. Most of the training has occurred, but somebody came from another dental office, and she brings to the new office how she did it in the old office, and if she has experience, we kind of leave them alone, turn them loose at the front counter, and let them, I'm speaking in the front primarily, and they do what they did in the other office. And it always amazes me that, you know, that was probably the person that got fired in the old office, and now we're going to let them run our office. But we don't have systems in place, and these systems that Steve's talking about and these questions that come up over and over and over again, you've practiced them. It's not like this is a new question. It's happened before. How much will my insurance pay? And then they stumble around. Or, you know, it's all of these questions. It's just same things over and over again. And we have to put systems in place that are so reliable that we can have 100% staff turnover, which we don't want to have. But if we have it, the practice goes on. My college roommate flew in the Navy, flew fighters off, attack bombers off carriers in Vietnam. And I said, what's it feel like sitting on the catapult, getting ready to blast off that ship, knowing that the last time the ship was in, half the crew changed. And half the crew that maintained this aircraft and half the crew that maintains that ship got replaced last time in port. How's that feel? And his response was, our systems are so good that we can change the whole crew and we can carry on. And that's what we have to put in a dental office, and that's what Steve has done so well. He now has these systems in place. For example, lowering the receivables from 150 or whatever he said it was down to 60. You see, that's because there was no system. Now there's a system. Now there's a way that we've paid when we do things. The fact that he was booked 6 months busy but not productive is there was no system or scheduling, or we weren't, or there was a system we didn't follow it. And those are the kind of systems that we talk about, or systems for the new patient procedure. How do we do this? Or what's the script for the phone call? All of those things are things that we need to spend training time on. Go ahead.
I said they're all written down, too, like you were talking about the new patient phone call. Everything's written down. So anybody could pick up the phone and just follow the script.
So all of those things, you and your team have sat down and written all these things out, and so that your main receptionist is out with the flu tomorrow. Well, tomorrow's Friday. You don't work on Friday, but if she's out on Monday.
Half a day. I don't work on Wednesdays.
Okay. If she's out tomorrow with the flu, your dental assistant can pick up that phone and answer it just as well as she can.
Right.
Or you can answer it as well as she can.
I can answer it, too. Absolutely. They're a little surprised when I answer, but I've done it.
It works. Tell us a little bit more about vision and purpose and goals. How you told me a story about said what your goals used to be to make sure there's some money to cover the bills.
Right.
Your goal was survival. Tell us about vision and purpose and goal setting that you've done in the last year.
Well, I've done goal setting for both the practice and my personal life, but for the practice, we set a goal for monthly production and for yearly production, which I hadn't done before. We did, but we didn't really, follow it. My goal is by the end of 2007, I want to be in a new facility, a nice new one. Mm-hmm. At the end of 2008, I want to be totally insurance-free. That's including, Delta. Before I started the program, I figured, let me just do what I can and I'll be out of here, and I'm 65. But now I figured, who knows how long I'll work. I just work 1 or 2 days, and because I'm starting to like what I'm doing.
Uh-huh. Tell me why you like what you're doing so much more. Other than you're being paid for it.
Well, that's a big thing. I mean, don't let anybody kid you out there. I mean, I love doing dentistry, but if I wasn't getting paid for it, I wouldn't be enjoying it.
Mm-hmm. What about the level of care your patients are accepting today versus what they were doing a year ago? I mean, you certainly had the clinical training with Dawson and every other course. Steve has taken so many courses, it's unbelievable.
They're absolutely more accepting. It's the way you approach it. Like I said, you sit down and you ask them what their goals are, and you tell them, 5 years from now, what do you want your mouth to look like, and you start to talk about long term goals as opposed to just putting out fires when they have a problem with the tooth, and they're much more receptive. And when you let them talk and tell you exactly what they want, it's amazing what you'll hear.
Mm-hmm. Very good. Yeah, I've seen the same thing over and over.
We had an old gentleman who's never had any restorative. He's probably 76. He had one tooth extracted. His teeth are great. I came in to do an exam, last week or the week before, and like I said, it's usually, everything looks fine, see you later. But he had told my hygienist that he was interested in veneers. Wow, you've been coming here for 15 years. I never knew that. But, it just shows that the hygienists are also, asking the patients and listening to what they say.
Steve, what were some of the questions that she asked? I mean, this was a case where the hygienist actually talked to a 76-year-old man about some cosmetic dentistry. He obviously, at this point in his life, doesn't really need it. And yet, he started a conversation and he wants to do something. How did she do that?
Well, I think he just mentioned something, a picture on the wall about, wow, those are nice teeth. And she would say, yeah, those are nice teeth. Would you like teeth like that? And he just started talking. Geez, I've always thought. I didn't know I could have veneers.
Mm-hmm.
Am I too old?
And so part of it is just getting the whole team and the culture changing to make dentistry more available. You've covered a lot of topics here with us. We're not done, but I know some of the doctors on the call probably have some questions, and maybe some of my people have some questions you might want to ask Steve to kind of get things rolling here. What he's done in his practice and how the coaching program has helped him, maybe some of you could ask some questions. Any of the doctors on the call, you'll have to hit your 6 button first, and you don't even have to introduce yourself, just ask the question. I think Carol, David, Peter, some of you on this, you talk with doctors all the time. What are some of the questions you hear from doctors?
Dr. Steve, one of the points you pointed out this is David Curry, you talked about having used a management consultant before. Could you please review what you found to be the difference between, say, the typical management consultant standard operating procedure and what you found in the Blatchford custom coaching approach?
With the dental consultant that I used before, the practice management person, it was basically cookie-cutter stuff. She wanted me to increase my staff. She said, you need another front desk person, another assistant, get all these things in place, and then start getting the patients in. And, don't give them time to rinse because that cuts in your production, and you have to do this and that. And it was just, I don't know. Whatever it was, it wasn't working. The Blatchford program is definitely more like, all right, how do I want to practice dentistry? I only want to work 3.5 days. I'd like a lot of time off. And I'd like to you know, make a lot of money. It's like, all right, let's show you how we can do that. And, you know, people on the calls could be sitting there saying, you know what, I don't believe this guy. I mean, I've heard a lot of that stuff before, and let me tell you, I'll show you my books. It absolutely worked for me.
Bill, is the branding type of program, is that a different program than your program?
Yes, Yeah, Michael, are you on the call?
I am on the call, Bill.
Tell a few sentences about branding.
Yeah, one of the things that we do, it's a full-service marketing company, so what we do is we look at your practice as a brand, and what are you portraying to the public? You know, with Dr. Patenji's brand, you know, it was, I'm so busy, I'm not exactly sure, you know, what we're going to do next. The reality is they've kind of stepped back now. They've refocused their brand. They know exactly the kind of patient that they're going after, and those are the kind of patients you're going to attract. If you're just trying to get everybody, the problem you're going to run into is you're never going to get the right people. You're just going to keep scrambling all the time. So what we do is we come in and develop a brand and build that into brochures and websites and advertising campaigns and really attract the people that you're looking for. And in all honesty, one case a month at $20,000 over the course of a year definitely pays for marketing. I mean, come on.
Michael, you're working with a client of ours at the common client. I've been working with this client for about 14 years. You've been working the last couple of years. And doctor, you're talking about attracting large cases. This is a doctor that does really nothing but full mouth reconstructions and cosmetic dentistry. And in the last year, he has now booked out several weeks with these large cases. And so it can happen. He's the doctor I commented on earlier. It had a patient pay $105,000 in advance and missed his first appointment. And that patient came in, doctors in Seattle, and this patient came up from Central Oregon, so it was about a six-hour drive to get there. But he literally has patients coming in from all over for these large cases, and he is not a prosthodontist. He's a general dentist, but about, 14 years ago, he said, I want to do those kind of cases. And it takes a while. It doesn't happen overnight, but that's all he does now. He has one day a week of hygiene. If you were to ask him how many patients of record does he have that see him on a regular basis, it's very few. He makes almost all of his income on new patients.
And you got to make sure that the message is, you know, that brand is out there that's attracting those patients. And you got to make sure it's in multiple places. You know, doing one newspaper ad isn't going to do it for you. You got to make sure that it's consistent. The web experience is consistent with your advertising campaign and your brochures and even the message when someone answers the phone. Thank you for calling Dr. So-and-so's office, where we create great smiles every day. You know, you kind of breed that marketing into the speech all the time. We have one client that we came up with an advertising campaign is all about the Tooth Fairy. And so when they answer the phone, they're like, thank you for calling the doctor's office where we still believe in the Tooth Fairy. Blah, 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 blah. So it's a way of really living the brand.
Oh, wow, I love it. What's the name of your company? I'm sorry.
Rocket Dog Dental.
So you can just go to rocketdogdental.com. You can see some of our work.
Can I add something? One of the things that I really liked about, you know, the whole program is those two meetings where the staff get together and you really get to interact with other offices and see, you know, what they're going through and what they're doing. That was really helpful.
There are about 15 to 20 offices in those programs, and that is helpful.
They really are. Yeah. And those are a blast. And the other thing is Kay, the consultant that we work with, she was great, too.
Well, Kay worked in an office in California that dropped Delta while I worked with him, and then her husband retired. I'll never hire somebody out of one of my offices, of course, but Kay's husband retired from his business, and they moved to Oregon, then I hired Kay. But she's been through this. She knows how to do this. And, you know, her doctor was, he was accredited by AECD. He was an instructor at the FACE Institute in San Francisco and a real fine dentist. And yet they were Delta providers, and, you know, you have to discount your fees all the time. And they dropped that while I worked with them. At the end of the next year, production was the same without Delta. You know, I was saying how we help people follow their dreams. Carol Bogner just enrolled a doctor a few months ago from Milwaukee, Wisconsin, that sat down with him, he and his wife, in the dream. They want to be in Alaska. Well, the interesting thing is, and Carol, if you're on the call, you hear this, but you don't even know this yet. The way it's going right now, they may be in Alaska by summer. And the reason is that we started working on this plan, and then all of a sudden their landlord announced he was going to tear the building down, and they didn't have a lease, and so I got on the phone. I found a practice for them in the exact town that they want to be in, and it's all going to work out just great. But we help people follow whatever dream they have, not a set pattern. and not prescribed direction. So that's how the program works. Other questions from other doctors?
Steve,
I've got about 5 minutes left.
In Chattanooga, Tennessee. How are you?
Good.
I'm
great. I'm sitting here on Hawaii on the beach.
You what?
I'm sitting in Hawaii on the beach.
I didn't know that.
I'd like to ask Michael about Yellow Page advertising. We're right at the point of trying to decide whether to renew a $5,000 a month Yellow Page ad. We're getting about 35 new patients a month, but most of them, frankly, don't seem to be real good patients.
What was your name again? I'm sorry.
Jim Dick. I'm in Chattanooga, Tennessee.
Hey,
Jim. You've been on a couple calls.
Good question. For us, we have found that the Yellow Pages is not where you want to put your money, especially at $5,000 a month. I mean, that's $60,000 over the year, and that could definitely be spent on other things like search engine marketing or advertising campaigns and really starting to attract and actually building your brand. I mean, you may have to step back and develop a logo and develop a message about who you are. And we've just recommended getting the smallest listing that you can in the Yellow Pages, and we found that doctors who are doing that are attracting the even more the right patient than they're after.
I would say also you want to find out, first off, what are the goals? You know, how many patients are you? It's hard to answer that question without knowing where you're headed.
Exactly. Thank you.
Now, I want to just close here. I want to thank, it's a great turnout tonight. Like I said, we had all 50 lines sold out on this call tonight, and I want to thank everybody. For more information on Blatchford, please go to our website. Michael has put our website together for us. It's blatchford.com. We have a coaching program, which is described there. We also have a monthly audio files called the Blatchford Files, where I send you once a month, I send you a CD of me speaking on various subjects. We have that. We also have the book, Playing Your A-Game, which we took 23 offices. Got outstanding results, and my wife interviewed them all, and we wrote a book called Playing Your A Game, and they showed everything about their practices. So thank you very much for being on the call tonight. You will get a call or a contact from one of our representatives. If you're interested, say yes. If you're not interested, please have the courtesy to simply say, you know, I'm not interested, and we'll leave you alone. We don't bug people. And we'll be doing other calls, so sign up for other calls. Steve, I want to thank you again for sharing all of that with us and exposing some of the frailties in front of other people. I really appreciate that. Thank you, everybody.
No problem.